as we've been talking about keeping his word, John 14, verse 23, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode. See, it's the abode of God that we're looking for. It's the manifest presence of God. And he said, if you keep my word, and a lot of people will interpret that like trying to go do something. They'll interpret that like, well, I have to go be Miss Mary Poppins Goody Two Shoes, and I keep every part of the law, and then he'll make his abode. But that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about something that it was revealed from the beginning of time, an operation of prayer, an operation of God, an operation of meditation. From the beginning, from Abraham to Moses, Moses told him to keep my words 41 times. The book of Deuteronomy, keep my words, keep these things that I give you in the midst of your heart. Solomon understood it. David understood it. Do not let it depart from your heart. Notice his words, Proverbs, Solomon said, keep it in the midst of your heart. Don't let them depart. It takes time to understand this kind of operation because we're not accustomed to it. It's not taught very often. It's actually an operation of meditation. Joshua said, I will meditate your word day and night, and I will not let it depart from my mouth. It's an operation where the word of God is in your heart and it's in your mouth. And it's not just the logos word where you just take the Bible and read it. It's actually talking about a rhema word that God speaks to you. When God speaks a rhema or a living word to you, when God brings a living word to your life, he does it many times. He explodes it on the inside of you. Sometime it'll be during an encounter. Sometime you'll be on a mountaintop with God, but he will reveal it in such a way it paints a panoramic picture of your future. It's a part. Sometimes he gives you it in parts. Like when these constitutions that we have written, these weren't given to me as a whole pictures. They were given me over time. And then they make a whole picture. And for to keep this word here, it's comprised of many revelations, but it's one word. It's one word. It's one promise. It's one inheritance that God has promised. And it's culminating in one word. I see it as one word, even though it spans historical precedents of the Old Testament, the New Testament, in many parts. I see it as one word. When I keep it, I keep that one whole word because it represents what God has said to me in that area, what God has promised, the grace, the keys that he's given. See, the birth of promise from God will be the absolution of God's will and God's mind and God's power and the absolute, I guess you could say, denial of flesh. When God wants to birth a promise, there are a part of us that will not be a part of that. There's a part of our nature, our flesh will have no part of it, but he will use our spirit to birth it. So he must remove the flesh from the equation. He must move the highest order of unbelief. Does not come from your mind. He said, if you believe in your heart, doubt not in your heart. Sometimes we get questions in our mind and we'll doubt in our mind. That's not where true doubt originates. Doubt originates in the heart, not in the mind. You can doubt in the mind all the time, with just a thought here and a thought there, but it's doubt of the heart. He says, doubt not in your heart, but believe those things which he saith will come to pass. You stand, pray, and believe that you receive, and you shall have. Two different things there. The reception of the kingdom is God's going to first send his word. Amen? You believe it or not, God, when he sends that word, has the full measure of your promise in it. It has your future in it. It has your destiny in it and the destiny and lives of many others. He sends that word, and sometimes when it's there, we feel the faith when it comes and it's alive and we feel, oh, wow, this is it. Then when that word resides or that word begins to escape from the midst of our heart, we don't feel it's enough anymore. We need something else. What I want to do is teach you how to get reconnected to that living word that God has spoken to you. Because the connection to that living word is what God is going to fulfill. He hastens his word to perform it. He sends his word to heal you. His word will not return unto you void. So he said, if you love me, see, God's standard of love, a little different than ours, you will keep my words that I've given you. Everybody that walks with God will be given a word. You'll be given a word. Some of you will be given many words, but you learn to keep them in the midst of your heart. In fact, the greatest parable of all is the parable of the sower. When God speaks of his word, he said, he that heareth the words of my kingdoms will bear fruit 30, 60, 100. But another translation said that he that understandeth my word and keepeth it will bear 30, 60. And another translation says, he that receiveth my word and keepeth it. All of them say keepeth it. One will say hear and keep. Luke 8, Mark 4 will say understand and keep. And Matthew 13 will say, he that receiveth and keepeth my word. It's actually four operations of hear, understand, receive, and keep. Now, he's not just talking about understanding the word with your natural mind or a parable. He's actually talking about understanding how the word of the kingdom works, because he called it Matthew 13, the word of the kingdom. How it goes from a seed to bearing full-blown 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. And see, the thing about it is, Romans 10 said, the word of faith that we preach saith, speaketh on this wise, say not in that heart, who shall ascend into the heaven and bring him back down, or who shall descend into the deep to bring him back up. It's what saith it. He said, that word is in your heart and in your mouth. If your heart keeps saying, I need him to come back, I need more, I need something else, I'm not complete, this word is not complete, I need something else, then what happens is you've bypassed that word and you're still looking for God to do it another way. Now, another order of unbelief, the highest order of unbelief, is when you try to produce that word in your own sufficiency, like Abraham did, in your own flesh. Try to bypass, circumvent, substitute his word, the operation of the word, for something else. But the problem is, because we don't fully know how to get connected with that word, we don't understand the power in it. And normally it escapes us pretty quick because we haven't been trained to keep it. Your salvation hasn't escaped you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that word of promise. It's still there, but it escapes the life of it. The power of it escapes. It's not in the midst of your heart anymore. Other things have taken the priority of the heart. And as you go along, as you carry it long enough, as you find out what works and what doesn't work, and after you go through all of the things that doesn't work that everyone said did work, you come back to that word. Because God will always bring you back to what he has said to you. Amen? That's why it's very important. The Amplified Bible says in Ephesians 5:17, it says, be not vague, thoughtless, or foolish when you approach God. Don't be vague. Don't be thoughtless. Don't be foolish. If you're vague in your approach to God, you'll get vague answers. Amen? You have to be very centered, focused, not thoughtless, not foolish. Got to put a little thought into your approach to God, not just come to God and tell him how bad things are or offer the complaint to him. If you're going to come to God and get his attention, you're not going to be able to be vague, thoughtless, foolish, but you have to understand the will of God. When God speaks to you, he explodes his word on the inside of you. The Bible says in Habakkuk, he says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. If you've not taken the time to write down what God has said to you and gather the precedents, the scriptural precedents of what God says, then you have no evidence. There's no focus into your prayer. It's just vague. It's thoughtless, and I promise you, if you haven't taken time to write it down, it'll escape your heart because you have no center for it. It'll escape, and you'll go about in your Christianity. You go about doing this, that, and that, but you're not centered into what God has said. You've got to offer priority of your life needs to be on what God has said. That's why he kept taking Abraham back to what he said. Look at the stars. Look at the sand of the sea. This is your descendants. This is your evidence. The stars and the sand of the sea are your evidence of what I'm saying to you. So when God speaks to you, his word, you have to write what he says and then gather scriptural precedents. That's what these constitutions are. It's the scriptural precedents of what God has said to us. Some of these things God has spoken to us 8-10 years ago still hasn't come to pass. It doesn't matter to God. What matters is he finds the habitation. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. We will come on you and make our abode. That's what's happening. It's the abode of God. It's the presence of the living God coming around you. That word that you keep in your heart is what's attracting God. God is not attracted to unbelief. No matter how much we squeal, no matter how much we complain, no matter how much we move in self-pity, he is not attracted to that. He's attracted to his word. If you allow your heart to move in unbelief, if you allow your heart to move in self-pity and doubt, if you allow your heart to be moved in discouragement constantly, that doesn't attract heaven. It actually attracts your adversary. That's why if someone's always depressed, they'll generally stay depressed. If they're dysfunctional, they'll generally stay dysfunctional because the dysfunctional of their heart is attracting all of that. That's why you got to get something else working there. That is the work of God. What must we do to work the works of God? Believe. To believe will require effort. It's a work. It's a spiritual labor. It's not a natural. He that's entered in my rest is ceased from his own works. Not works, but his own works. You have your works concerning that vision, and God has his. This is God's works. It will require labor if you want it. It requires a training if you want it. The very first thing you have to do is you're going to have to get centered in what God has said. That's why you got to take time to write down what God has said. This is the Constitution on Wealth Transference. It basically outlines the historical precedents of God's wealth, Old Testament and New, Christ receiving the inheritance of God's mountains, the Mount Hebron inheritance. Don't have time to get in all that. But all this is one word. Although it's many messages, it's one word. He said, he keepeth my words. He says, to him who hath my words, listen to this, to him shall be given. And he will be given more abundance. But him that hath not my words, listen to this, shall be taken from him even what he has. Well, you don't understand. If you allow those words to escape, that's not just the beginning. The enemy will continue. He'll come and rend your life because there's no word. When he approached Christ, Christ had the word. It is written. It is written. See, he had it. We have the greatest responsibility of a born again believer outside of worshiping the Father is to keep the word that God's given you. You have to learn to do that. This is a meditative, but don't let it depart from your mouth. Amen. Be not vague, thoughtless, or foolish. So if you're going to believe God, you want to answer prayer. I don't know how many people, not very many people I know actually get answered prayers. We pray, but we don't get a lot of answered prayers. You know how many people have been praying for a revival? In every city? Pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you. It'd be a lot better if God answers the prayer. That's what we're looking for, God to answer the prayer. What does it take for you to actually answer the prayer? How many prayers you could answer? Think about it. How many desires of your heart go unfulfilled? Seek God, love God, give to God, worship God. Lay your life down to God, but how many prayers get unfulfilled? Reminds me of that story of that farmer, you know. One guy on the other side of the farm, man, everything he touched turned to gold. Harvest every year. Guy on the other side of the track, his tractor would break down every day. Constantly in problems. constantly, harvest, constant poverty. One day he was driving his tractor and it rolled over on him. And he looked up to God and said, God, what is up? Why did that guy get everything? I don't get anything. And God just spoke out of heaven. He said, there's just something about you I don't like. It's either that or we haven't done it his way. Since he loves us all unconditionally, then obviously there's certain keys that are implemented. Somebody thinks if I just get on my knees and pray, God will answer. He does that when you're a babe. But when you grow up, you have to do it his way. There are certain elements. The highest operation of prayer that I'm finding right now is to keep his word. It's a different type of prayer. It's a different operation. Now, once you actually take the time to get centered on what God has said, this becomes your focal point. This becomes your life. Now, you're going to go through some things if you get serious about this, because it's not always going to be rosy. I found out keeping God's word is not as much easier said than done. Do you know the promise of God will get very heavy if you're not close to God? I found a great, great mystery. A great mystery. I cannot carry God's word outside of being close to him. I will let it go. In other words, if I don't remain close to God and I start just venturing, and you know, I go to church and everything, but I'm off doing my own thing. Guess what? You're not going to carry this word when you're not close to God. It'll get too heavy. He said it like this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. It takes a composition of abiding in God. See, but what I found out too, when I'm close to him, this word is easy to carry. I come in harmony with it. I feel the life of it. I feel it. I keep it. It's in the midst of my heart. I let it dwell in me richly. I don't let it depart. I keep my heart with all diligence. To keep your heart with all diligence is to keep his word in your heart. To him who hath my words, to him will be given those words. And he'll be given more abundance. When you ask anything according to my will, this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, we know we'll receive those things. See, you know you ask according to his will because you've written it down. You found scriptural precedence to what he said. It becomes your lifeblood. It's your focus. It's much easier to keep his word when you've written it down. It's very hard to find something when you don't have anything. He said, bind it as a sign in your hands. This right here in itself is not just keeping his word, but by doing this, when I move into the presence of the Lord, I have this word. I keep it in the midst of my heart. I do it every day. I don't let 2 days go by ever, ever without doing this, because you'll lose touch with it. It won't mean anything to you. I don't know how to explain that to you, but you'll try and you're like, oh, well, and go about your business, because other things are occupying your heart. The key to greatness in God is God and his word must occupy your heart. To do that, you have to stay next to him. It's a discipline. If you're not willing to do that discipline, then you're off. That's what we're doing, is we're learning that discipline of keeping his word. I have a whole series called Spiritual Constitution. If you're not familiar with it, constitutions, you should get familiar with them. It's the vision statement of your life. God has spoken a lot more things than you realize to you. You got to take the time to get in connection to what he's spoken. Otherwise, you're going to say, I need you to come back down again. I need to go find you. He'll bring it right to your heart. Holy Ghost is the agency of transference. As you hold his word in your heart, he said he upholds all things by the word of his kingdom. He's going to uphold your life. He's going to hold your work. He's going to hold the church. What will happen is it attracts heaven. The longer you keep it there, it's going to attract heaven. It's going to attract heaven on your behalf. It's going to attract goodness. It's going to attract inheritance. It's going to attract blessing. It's going to attract breakthrough. It's going to attract things. Amen.